Well, every Sunday, or in preparation for every Sunday, I look at the lectionary texts, and occasionally, very occasionally, I look at them and think, but I don't like any of these, and I don't think I have anything to say in any of them. That hardly ever happens. What happens more frequently is what happened this week when I look at all three of them and say, well, I don't have time to preach three sermons, so what am I going to do now? Because all three of these are really interesting. We have, in our Old Testament, we have the beginning of the story of Joseph, the last of the patriarchs. It closes off the book of Genesis, takes the people of Israel into Egypt, leading to the Exodus, all kinds of things. It's a very important part of Scripture. Not that there are lots that aren't, but it's one of those ones that's really fascinating and draws out one of the characters in the Old Testament probably as well as any, maybe better than the rest. And then we have the story of Peter's tremendous faith, because Jesus may have said, oh, you of little faith, but he's the only one who had any faith at all to step over the gunwale. So I think he sort of wins the faith sweepstakes there. But, as I've told you before, it's not so much a matter of what's most convenient for me to talk about or the only thing that strikes me. I do work hard, at least I try to work hard, at listening to what the Holy Spirit has to say for all of us out of the various texts we have. And I kept coming back to Romans. And that's where the sermon title comes from. Does everyone mean everyone? And so we're going to be spending most of our time with the last part of the reading rather than the whole thing. And there are other things we could talk about in there, but we're going to spend our time talking about what does it mean, this word everyone. What does it mean for them and what does it mean for us? It's a quotation. I had to look it up. I recognize it as coming from somewhere else. And Paul is quoting the book of Joel, the book of the prophet Joel. It says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And this is a fascinating passage. I'm going to read from verse 13 to down to 15. Where it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. It's an interesting section of Scripture. There's a rhetorical trick going on there. Those short sentences sort of pile upon each other and they create their own sense of momentum. But it doesn't end the way you would expect. When you get to that business about how can they preach unless they are sent, you would expect something about, and this is how they are going to be sent. And instead we get, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, which is from Isaiah, which I also had to look up. I was pretty sure it was from Isaiah, but, well, my memory isn't what it used to be, and it was never very good, so I have to look things up. Well, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How does that work? And why do we need Paul to remind us of this? Because of course we know this. I mean, it only makes sense. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved in the same way that everyone who listens to what we say that they need to do and does it will have listened and then did it. It just makes sense. I mean, why would he go out of his way to talk about this? Well, I think because he wants to make sure that we understand, first of all, that it's not limited on religious or ethnic lines. He says earlier, it's not Gentile or Jews. It's not that. It's everyone. And you can spend some time in this part of Scripture wondering about what does it mean to hear and how can you hear? And if nobody talks to you, are you actually responsible for what someone has never spoken to you out loud? And do people always everywhere have a choice? Well, that's a topic for another day, and it's a long day because that's one of those things I'm really interested in. It was a sub-theme of my undergraduate education, was general revelation versus special revelation. Psalm 19, when it says the heavens are telling the glories of God, does that mean that people who have never heard the explicit word of Jesus still have no excuse? They know enough to be saved. Well, it's a fascinating question. I wrote several papers on it, none of which I will inflict on you, and certainly not this morning, because that's not what we're talking about. Does everyone mean everyone? Well, it does. Everyone is able to move into a relationship with God through Jesus, just like the one we have. Nobody is barred in and of themselves. And then Paul goes on to, well, but how does that work? How can they call on someone they haven't believed in? Which is a very odd sentence construction, which gives you some idea of why translating Paul is such a challenge. But we know what he means. He's saying, like, well, how can they call if they don't know? Like, what goes on here? And how can they believe if they haven't heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Well, first of all, let's make sure that we understand what Paul's talking about when he talks about preaching. He's not talking about what I'm doing here exclusively. This, of course, is preaching. It's a kind of preaching. But this kind of preaching was unknown to Paul. They didn't have pulpits. They didn't have churches yet. They met in houses. They met in synagogues. They met outdoors. They did all kinds of things. Preaching is something that all of us can do. And preaching is, sort of at its essence, is opening up the Word of God for people to understand it better, or perhaps to apply it in a new way, to see new facets of it that they've never seen before. And this is something that we all do. Whenever we're talking about Scripture, all of us are able to come up with new insights. It's a wonderfully rich text. And then the Holy Spirit works within us and opens our eyes to new things that we then tell other people. That's a kind of preaching. And so one of the points to make sure that you get is that preaching is for everybody. It's not just for those who have been gifted in a particular way to do what I do. But preaching is opening the Word of God for those who are open to hear it or who need to hear it. And sometimes we do it this way. And quite often we do it just by the way we live. Does everyone mean everyone is a bit of a trick there? Because I'm also reading into not just the everyone, the quotation from Joel, but an everyone into, and how can they preach unless they are sent? We are all called to preach. Not like this. If the thought of speaking in public gives you the willies, remove those particular willies from your mind. Because that's not what Paul is talking about. He's not saying that everybody is called to stand up in front of a group of people and preach. But we are all called to be ready to preach. In the sense of giving sense, explaining why we are who we are. Whenever I think of this, it reminds me of, I don't know if you'd call it a proverb or a saying or what it is, but preach the gospel at all times. And if necessary, use words. We are all called to preach the gospel at all times. And we preach the gospel at all times in all kinds of different ways. We preach the gospel by the way we drive, by the way we interact with clerks in stores who are getting minimum wage, how we interact with our bosses or political leaders or people who on the social scale are as far above us as we are above an ant, and vice versa. We are called to preach the gospel at all times because the gospel has now turned itself within us and we are now different people than we were before we had that life-changing encounter with Jesus. And it's our responsibility to do everything we can to make sure that the everyone that Paul talks about who calls on the name of the Lord knows who to call on. Now, does this mean that we have a responsibility to talk specifically about our relationship with God through Jesus at every interaction? I won't ask for a show of hands, because of course the answer is no. That's inappropriate. There are times when it makes perfect sense to talk deeply about things of faith and our philosophy of living and how we understand how the world works and the universe was created. But they're not common. And I'd put it to you that they almost never occur when you're talking to your waiter at the conclusion of a meal. You preach the gospel to that waiter by treating them with the respect they deserve as part of the created order and as a human being for whom God died. You preach the gospel to them by tipping appropriately, We preach the gospel to people every time. We treat them better than the world would perhaps tell us they deserve. We preach the gospel to people every time we do a little bit more than the bare minimum. When we're civil in the face of someone else's incivility. When we're kind in the face of other people's unkindness. When we stand up, painful as it sometimes is, against the systemic oppression that people practice by how they talk about visible minorities or women or poor people or rich people. We preach the gospel in so many ways that what I do is the smallest part. And what I do is no more important than what you do. We are called to be part of God's plan on earth that creates a world where everyone has the opportunity to hear and respond to the message that God loves them enough that Jesus came to earth to die. We are all called to be preachers. Every once in a while, people will encounter this text. And this is usually by people who are concerned about the possibility that they may one day have to speak in public. And they will look at it and say, well, thank goodness I have never been sent to preach. Well, you have. And just to make it perfectly clear, I am sending you all to preach. There, now you can never say that. The good news is that you preach already. By living the life that God has provided for you, by interacting with the people around you in ways that are respectful and life-giving, life-affirming, that represent your deep understanding of how valuable people are in the view of God, you're preaching already. When I was thinking that this was the direction I needed to go this Sunday, it wasn't because I had this sense that there is someone in this congregation or maybe at Knox who is not doing this. I don't have any sense of that. What I do have a sense of, because I run into this now and again talking to people, is that you may be dismissing what it is that you do as not being all that important compared to what, say, an elder does. Or what, say, I do, or a denominational leader, or someone who went to school. And I understand that. It makes sense. We are a people who value credentials and value titles, and there's nothing wrong with titles. They're not evil. But we need to remember that titles at their best are a reflection of what is, not necessarily where you went to school. One of the nice things I like about the Presbyterian Church and other denominations as well is how elders are selected. For some people, they will think that, well, you become an elder when somebody taps you on the shoulder and says, will you let your name stand as nomination to be an elder? And then they think, okay, I'm going to become an elder. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I think there's a better way to look at it. And what the Presbyterian Church and what other, at least some other denominations do is instead of saying we are going to turn you into an elder, they look and they say you are an elder. God has obviously given you those gifts through the Holy Spirit that make you an elder. And we're going to recognize that giftedness rather than put it upon you because, I mean, we can't do that. The Holy Spirit's the one who provides the gifts that make an elder. And the church says in you, we see those gifts. And so it's not so much that we are making you anything. We are recognizing God's gift to us in the person of you as an elder. And superficially, they sound very similar, but when you think about it, there's a profound difference between the two. And that same difference is the same as the difference between someone who gets paid to preach and a preacher. A preacher is someone who is willing and ready, when appropriate, to talk about Scripture in a way that is sensible to the people they're talking to, whether it's one or a million people. The gifting that you need to be an elder is fairly significant. There's a number of things you need to have to be an elder, for people to recognize that. Thankfully, there's hardly any gifting you need to be a preacher. In a very real sense, to be a preacher, you need to be a follower of Jesus. And that's it. Now, to be this kind of preacher, you need a bit more. But to preach the reality of Jesus' love, all you need is to know that Jesus loves you. And be willing to talk about it when the time is right. That's what Paul is talking about. And that's how we are all sent. Paul is reminding us in this passage and in others that yes, there is a call that needs to happen for us to do what God has asked us to do. But if we're waiting for a call like Paul's to be knocked off our horse on the way to Damascus, we'll probably be waiting forever. Some calls are that dramatic. We hear about them where people are dramatically called into ministry or into service in some ways. And those are tremendous stories and they encourage us. But we need to make sure we don't think that that's exclusively how God calls us. Because God calls us to be the people we were created to be. And to be witnesses to him, to those around us. And he calls all of us that way. And he doesn't have to knock us off a horse for that. It's one of those things that comes. When we move into this relationship with God through Jesus, what comes with that is a deep sense of how wonderful that is and how good it would be if everyone knew that. Are all of us called to be evangelists in the sense of stopping strangers on the street and talking to them about what it means to know Jesus? No, very few people are called to that. The ones that are extraordinary. Watching them at work is the most amazing thing. If you want to see a miracle on earth, spend some time with someone who has that gift of evangelism. As I've said before, these are the people who sit down next to somebody on the airplane, they start talking, and the person says, "You know, I've always wondered about God." When I sit down next to somebody on the airplane, I can see it as clear as day. I wish somebody smaller was sitting next to me, who wasn't quite as intimidating looking. I hardly ever talk to people on planes. Not because I don't want to, but because they apparently don't want to talk to me. It's not a gift of mine. But do I have the gift of responding with the love of Jesus to the people around me? Yes, I do. And so do you, and so does everyone who has that relationship with God through Jesus. The Holy Spirit will allow you, will encourage you to do more than the bare minimum, not because you're trying to get ahead, but because that's just what we do. We treat people better than some might think they deserve because we know how valuable they are. We treat people we've barely met or never met before as if they're valuable because we know they're valuable. We treat people like we love them because we do. Because we know that God so loved us. And that love that we have within us spills over into the lives of others. It's just part of human nature. Hang around anybody who's recently fallen in love, and they are so much easier to get along with. That can be us every day. We are called to be preachers. We are called to preach the gospel at all times to all people, and if necessary, to use words. Because everyone deserves the opportunity to make a decision to follow Jesus. And sometimes we're the catalyst. Sometimes we're the instrument. Sometimes we are so privileged as to be able to talk to somebody and help them through this and teach them how to pray. But sometimes we're just one more part of that journey. I want to be the kind of person that no one is ever surprised to hear that I preach. That no one ever will say with wonder, "I saw you coming out of a church. What were you doing there?" We want to be the kind of people that when we do have an opportunity to talk about how much God loves us, that people go, "Oh, of course, that makes sense." We are all called to preach. We may not have known that until this very day, but now you know. There's no getting out of it now. But you're called to preach by being the person you are. You're called to preach through your actions and your words that are going to naturally arise from the relationship you have with God. That come out of your personality and your experience. You're not called to try and be someone you're not. You're not called to try and be like me any more than I'm called to be like you or anyone else. You're called to be yourself in such a way that people will see you as someone who has something they need, something they desire. And maybe you'll get to use words sometime. But remember, preach the gospel at all times, to all people, and only if necessary, use words. Amen.